Welcome to Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We are so glad you decided to join us today. We know you're going to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by this powerful sermon. The title of our sermon is, Does It Really Cost to Follow Jesus? Does it really cost to follow Jesus? We're going to be looking and revisiting Luke chapter 9, reading in verses 56 through 62. Does it really cost to follow Jesus? Well, we hear the gospel, right? The wonderful gospel. We believe on Christ with our heart in faith. We receive the gift of salvation, and now we start walking out this journey as a disciple. And it's going to cost us something. It's a message in the church today that a lot of people don't like to hear. This is going to cost me something to do this? Before let me give you a commentary description of what a disciple is, first of all. A true Christian. I love the word true. I use that a lot whenever I write things. The word true. A lot of people call themselves Christians simply because they go to church, simply because they believe in some religion, simply because they believe in God. Believing in God does not make you a Christian. Jesus never used the word Christian. He used the word disciple. A true Christian, and not one in name only, will have to be a disciple of Christ as well. That is, he has counted the cost and has totally committed his life to following Jesus. Really? I got to commit everything to that? Come on. I got so many other things I got to do. So many other things I got to focus on. I got my husband, my wife, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my money, my job. Really? He accepts the call to sacrifice and follows wherever the Lord leads. Somebody say wherever. Wherever. Wherever the Lord leads. The Christian disciple completely adheres to the teaching of Jesus, makes Christ his number one priority, and lives accordingly. Have you done that today? He is actively involved in making other Christian disciples. Are you doing that today? So we talk about a cost. What cost? There's a cost to this. There is a cost to this. So I'm preaching to myself today. There's a cost to this. Again, thank you for being here while the Holy Spirit convicts me today. Amen. There's a cost to this. Do I really have to go to extremes in living for Jesus? Isn't that just for the fanatics? Isn't that just for the the people that really want to get into it? Isn't just being saved enough? Can I just come to church when I feel like it? Can I just give when I feel like it? Can I just read the Bible when I feel like it? Can I just pray when I decide to pray, when I feel like? Can I just do what's convenient for me? Am I really supposed to do what the Bible tells me all the time? I'm smarter than the Bible in some areas. Do I really have to follow Jesus? There's a cost to this. Well, let's look at what this cost is as Jesus himself describes it in Luke chapter 9. This is not me. This is not Spurgeon. This is not Whitfield. This is not Edwards. This is Jesus. It says, and they went on to another village. So picture them walking down the road. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, we're revisiting this. So they're walking down this dusty road together in their sandals, and their feet are dirty, and they're probably thirsty, and they're just got done doing some ministry somewhere, and some guy yells out, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus, you know, we could have gone, that's awesome, man. What's he say? And people don't think Jesus is straightforward. He says to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Three would-be followers of Christ, and Jesus says something to each one of them, very profound and very straightforward, to their supposed confession that they are going to follow him wherever he goes. In verse 57, to the man who says, I will follow you wherever you go, he talks about foxes having holes and birds of the air nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Verse 59, he says, follow me. The man responds, permit me to go bury my father. Verse 60, and allow the dead to bury their own dead, he says, but as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Again, in verse 61, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. To this, Jesus responds in verse 62, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Three times we read the word follow to describe what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. The point that Jesus is making here is that to be a disciple of Jesus is more than just knowing about him. It's actually more than just reading about him and learning about him. It's following him. Man, that is so profoundly deep when you got to sit and meditate on it. It is following him. Wherever he goes and wherever his word takes us. Luke 14:27 says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's not easy believism. That's not prosperity gospel preaching. That is Jesus straightforward in your face. You've got to pick up your own cross. And if you're not willing, then you're not a disciple of mine. That's heavy duty stuff. So he's letting them know. And man, this speaks to me. There might be no place to lay your head. Let the dead bury their dead. Put your hand on the plow and don't look back. What's he doing? He's teaching and he's testing. He was teaching them what it is to truly be a disciple, and he's testing them to see if they really loved him. Teaching the truly aspect of being a disciple and following him will require sacrifices of home and family. I was testing them to see if he himself was the greatest treasure of their lives. I ask you this at this juncture of our sermon, is Jesus the greatest treasure of your life? They said, I'll follow you. And Jesus said, really, you love me? You treasure me that much? Here's what it's going to cost you. Golly, this is not some easy, breezy type of stuff. Again, a lot of people would follow him, and then he would bring them straightforward truth, and many of them would quit following him. Because most people don't want to hear what we call straightforward truth. They want part of the Word of God. They don't want the whole counsel of God's Word. So he's testing to see how much they treasure him and how much they'll follow him. He wants to see if he's enough, if he's really your treasure, your joy, your security, your hope, your friend in times of loneliness, your home, your mother, your father, your power to look straight ahead. To test you in all these ways, he tells you what it's going to cost you. You understand something? He is supposed to be everything. He is, you love him more than anything. Anything. But we also don't want to make these really straightforward and profound words more difficult than they are. But here's the thing about it. Jesus knows our idols. Amen. He knows. In everybody in this room, first of all, if you're not saved, he knows the state of your life. If you are saved, He knows right now what you have before him. He knows right now what affections you have on other things before him. He knows it. And if you really sit down and think and contemplate, maybe do that today, what do I have my affections on that's taking the place of my love and my treasure in Christ? He's supposed to be the ultimate of everything in our life. This is not a half-in, half-out type of journey. This is not a half-saved situation. He knows perfectly what's competing in our hearts for him and our love for him. And he looks every one of us in the face this morning. We need to let him do that today and not be offended. He does this to win us to himself. Follow me is the goal. Follow me. It won't be easy, but it will be good. Does it really cost to follow Jesus? Yes. So he raises this issue in verse 58 about your attachment to your home. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Will you follow him? What about your home? Will you follow him? What about your home, your furniture, the security you enjoy there, the comforts of this climate-controlled atmosphere, 24 hours a day, perfect atmosphere, totally automated kitchen, home, entertainment center, and Wi-Fi? Are you willing to follow him anywhere? There's so much preaching that tries to connect the blessings of God to things that are always tangible. A bigger car, a newer home, lawnmower, more money in my bank account, and all that. Bless me. That's what we see as the blessings of God. There's people overseas that have nothing, and they are blessed. They don't have a car. They don't have a house. And they're blessed. He raises the question about our family in verse 60. Let the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Whom do you cherish more, spiritually dead relatives or the giver of life, Jesus Christ? Say, man, that's a hard one. I thought family was first. No, Jesus is first. Christ is first. He's making a point. He's the absolute. And all other allegiances are relative. He is first. He is first. The issue will be, do you want Christ above all? Do you want to follow him more than anything? Do you want to follow him more than a lot of disciples in the Word of God? You'll read, they left. They weren't even, his main ones weren't even with him at the cross, except for the women. The rest of them are hiding when he's going through the toughest time of his life. They're not there. He raises the question in verse 62 about this, hear my words, vacillating, inconsistent, nominal, indecisive, erratic following. The danger of indecisive discipleship. No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. You can't plow a straight furrow while you're looking back. You can't be effective for God and live all out for God while you're still looking back. Looking back means longing back. You can't make Christ look great if you're always second-guessing following him. Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. Some say the greatest preacher that ever lived on the face of the earth. In regards to another type of section of the Word of God like this in Luke 14, 28, 30, he said this, quote, on this occasion, our Lord spoke with a view to the winnowing. You know what? You all know what winnowing means, right? When you're winnowing chaff from wheat, you're separating. He says, on this occasion, our Lord spoke with a view to the winnowing of the great heap of nominal discipleship which lay before him. that the chaff might be driven away and only the precious corn might remain. Jesus is worthy. He's worthy of following. He's worth following from Jerusalem all the way to the cross. He's worth following. Dr. Stephen Lawson said, the demands of following Christ will cost you everything, but you gain far more than you give up. You give up dirt for diamonds. There are thousands of Christians around the world in prisons today for their faith. And there's people overseas that are in prison for their faith right now. Thousands who have been rejected by their families around the world because of their stand for Christ. Muslims being converted and families disowning them. Those who have been beaten and even killed for their faith in Christ. People beaten because they love Jesus, and in the midst of it, they don't deny it. They stand strong in the midst of it and say, you know, do you realize that people have been martyred? We literally are functioning in this church on the foundation of the blood of people who've been martyred for the cause of Christ. Who would not recant their faith in Christ, even while being burned at the stake. Their stories that say they were singing while they were burning. This is not a nominal thing. Living for Christ is not a secondary thing. It is the thing. And everything else lines up underneath that. Your job, your income, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, wife, your kids. Everything lines up underneath Christ as the heading. And man, we replace him. We put him up there 1 minute, and then the next minute we got all these things in front of him. There's a cost to this. Somebody says, well, I'm saved, I'm in. Do you want to live your life like that? Do you want to live your life as a believer, not really being a follower? And offer wealth, comfort, or earthly security. He simply says, if you're coming with me, you're going to be rejected by the world. Are you prepared to choose that? And there's people that will not choose that. I want the comforts. And I'm not, again, I'm not saying you're never going to have a bed, you're never going to have a nice home, you're not going to have a nice car. That's not what's being said. Y'all get that, right? But there may be times when it's like that. One minute you have your job and everything's okay, you're securing your bills, this, and all of a sudden your job is gone. It's gone. Where's the security now? Does it shake your very world? Or have you counted the cost to know that following him and where he leads is always going to lead to something better? In this day and age, personal comfort is the great God of our lives. Our whole lives revolve around making ourselves and our families comfortable, content, and secure. Our entire lives revolve around that. We spend money on homes, cars, and things, and pleasures. But Jesus, in these verses, is challenging this God. He challenges the most cherished principles of our lives, and he says to us, if you want to be comfortable, then don't follow me. If you want to be comfortable, then don't follow me. Foxes have places to sleep, birds have nests, but you follow me and you may have nowhere to lay your head. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Following Jesus is urgent. Let the spiritually dead concern themselves with the physically dead, Jesus says. We have a life-saving message. Go and proclaim the kingdom of God. It's urgent. Sometimes it's right for the missionary to not come back home to the funeral. And sometimes it will be. We have a life-saving message. Let the dead bury the dead. There's lives hanging in the balance. You want to talk about something people don't want to hear? That's something they don't want to hear. There's a cost to this. Following Jesus is uncompromising. He demands 100% focus and single-mindedness in his followers. Really, that's not fair. It is fair. That's what he demands. That's what he expects. 100% single-mindedness on him first. He's drawing the picture of a farmer plowing through a field. You cannot plow properly moving forward if you're looking back. Keep moving forward. He is Lord. There can be no objections. If we impose our agenda on him, then he's not our Lord. Following Jesus is an all or nothing commitment. And I ask this, have you really focused your eyes or fixed your eyes on Christ? Are we determined to follow him wherever he leads? Or are we constantly distracted by the things of life and the pleasures and recreational activities, being led astray by things that seem more important to us than to him? Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Are you fit to follow? Conclusion. So it means following Jesus will be uncomfortable, will be urgent, and will be uncompromising. Does it really cost to follow him? It does. If following him were costless, it would also be worthless. If it didn't cost you anything, it wouldn't be worth anything. But when you're following Jesus is so costly, it shows that his worth is immense. He's of infinite value, and although it costs us everything to follow him, it's still worth it. It's still a bargain. It's a good deal. It's a good deal. Because you may give up some things, but man, you gain a whole lot more. There's a cost to this. He doesn't want part of me. He wants all of me. Closing with this statement by Charles Spurgeon, he said, oh, if you want that which will endure the conflict, you must pay a cost for it. Jesus Christ knew that the persons to whom he spoke would not be able to bear the tests which awaited his disciples. Does it really cost to follow Jesus? You better believe it does. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you for joining us at Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We pray this sermon blessed you, encouraged you, inspired you, and challenged you in your walk with Christ. Thank you for being with us, and come back and visit us anytime. God bless you.